how do you view the East right now? Nets had a rather good road trip. How do you view the entire hierarchy of the Eastern Conference right now?
The Nets are impressing me more and more. Their cohesion as a unit has really come a long way, even though they haven't gotten that much time together with all their stars. James Harden is playing some really patient, controlled basketball. I voted him start in the East at the guard spot because I've been so impressed with the way he's played, totally moderating his game, finding ways to attack, yielding his game. I think he's playing awesome right now. I couldn't be more complimentary of him. I know what he did in Houston was not becoming, and I don't disregard that, but regarding the way he's played now, I'm very impressed. And the way they're playing defensively, switching everything, is starting to come. I think in a series, when a team can really game plan for that, they will still be able to handle the Nets' defense. But they've got so many offensive fire. I mean, right now, I'd have to say that my favorite would be the Nets. And I say that I think they've got to play the Sixers three more times. I have no idea when those games are going to be because the second half schedule hasn't come out. Seeing how they would handle Embiid would certainly be interesting, but I think they're going to be I think they are the class of the East with respect to Philly. And look, the Raptors obviously playing a lot better. They've been, Siakam has been much better for the last month. Their defense has improved. They're settling in. Certainly they're a team to keep an eye on. I don't think they're a real threat to win the East right now, but they're definitely a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. Where I think their identity is slotting in is just the team that you don't want to face in the playoffs, especially if you are a team like the Nets, where it's just going to be a tough out for you. They're a tough team. They play defense. They've got a bunch of different guys that have been playing a lot better recently. Like, they're tested in those areas. They're well coached. They would be frustrating. But ultimately, yeah, that Nets star power feels like it's going to overwhelm everybody. But the rest of these Eastern Conference teams, what I find interesting about this is, like, even Philly, who's played well, they still feel like they're really missing a piece. And I wonder how much they are kicking themselves about not being more active for Harden or not pushing more chips in the middle to get Harden, especially considering that, he ends up going to a team that you might end up facing the playoffs. Milwaukee, I don't know what move is even possible at this point, considering how much they've sacrificed in order to get Drew Holiday. And yet they also feel like they are a piece or two away. Boston, same thing. Toronto now, when it comes to trying to find maybe a center, do you think there's actually a player that will be out there or some names that will be out there that could actually impact what we just said, which is, hey, the Nets are the class, and then there's kind of this murky middle full of teams that maybe could, given the right night, but over the course of seven games, it's hard to see them upsetting the Nets.
I mean, I think the Raptors, if they're serious about making a sort of run, would need to make a move to add a piece. You'll say, what piece is that? And I'm like, well, I don't know. There's only three teams. There's only three or four teams that can really trade their 2021 pick. I mean, competitive teams. And I think Boston the Boston has their Gordon Hayward trade exception, which is $28 million, which means they can do just about anything, especially if they're willing to move draft picks. They own all of their picks going forward. The Raptors could trade their 2021 pick, and Philly can trade their 2021 pick, and they have some contracts that they could move. So I think it's possible all three of them could be in a race to go after pieces that make sense, although different things could factor in different, not necessarily the same needs for each team. So I don't really know where it goes. I mean, there is no functional way for the Raptors to directly trade for Andre Drummond. And I also don't think Andre Drummond's a difference-making player for them. If the big question for the Raptors really is, what do you do about Kyle Lowry? And that's a really complicated question that I think will change back and forth. This is Mr. Raptor. This is the heart and soul of your team. It's also a guy who has a decent chance of being elsewhere next year, depending on what he wants to do with his career. That's a really big, giant decision, and that factors into their planning as well. And I don't know what's going to happen there, and it may be nothing, because it's such a sense they're playing really well right now. But, to me, that's as big of a decision for them as, adding anybody else to any other kind of trade.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like us that they're in this great position to add. Again, Drummond's most people who have followed his career would tell you the same thing, which is, yes, that's no impact guy. And you're certainly not giving up an asset, I would think, if you're the Raptors, to acquire that player. And you said it, there's problems with the contract. It's just, it's a very difficult trade to execute. And we've spent so much time talking about selling and selling, and then all of a sudden now we're shifting into this, well, do you try to add? What do you try to do, considering the strength of the conference and what the team has shown as of late? But the Lowry thing remains. Like, Kevin O'Connor had a report again today that's been going around Twitter just about the idea of, you know, the potential shopping of Kyle Lowry continuing. But do you have any idea what that would be driven by? Like, do you think that is team success dependent? Because it's like, yeah, there are so many factors in this, whether it's not wanting to trade him within the conference, also his contract, the number of suitors that would be in on that, what kind of value. Like, if Kyle Lowry goes, how much of that is happening because it's his decision and he wants to try and set himself up for next year and knows that the Raptors are not going to try to extend him a contract when the year is done?
Well, I don't know what the Raptors are going to do. So that's a big thing. If you know, I'd like to know, because, you know, if the Raptors are willing to give him another giant one-year contract, I think he would be glad to take their money.
Sure.
You know, that's certainly something, you know, and I don't know what their plan is. The other thing is the market. Guys, just, I don't have the numbers updated to this minute, so give me a little bit of wiggle room here. But on Friday, there was 17 teams within five games of 500. Last year at the same point in the schedule, there were four. Okay. So what I'm telling you is that there's this giant mass in the middle. Also 10 teams kind of make the postseason this year with the play-in tournament. So you have four more teams who kind of think of themselves as possible playoff teams, and everybody jumbled together. So you say to yourself, well, who are the sellers? Who is out there saying we are going to trade pieces away? And some of those teams that are, you know, going to possibly trade pieces away, like, for example, the Cavs, okay, they're a probable seller. Well, they're selling Andre Drummond. There's no buyer for Andre Drummond. So there's no seller. So what you have out there is teams saying, well, where can we find somebody? Maybe it's Kyle. Maybe the Raptors, who are underperforming, maybe they possibly could sell. And it's and again, it's not just so much a desire for Kyle. It's that there's just very few other places to go. So you have teams sort of preparing and getting ready to knock on the door, as much as it is any situation that is with Kyle and the Raptors. But even if there was an oodles of sellers out there, even if there was people on the end of the street handing out players, you'd still have a difficult decision with Kyle, with where you're going as an organization. And that is really independent of what the market is. But if you want to know why you're hearing rumors, it's because there's just not that many guys who may be available. And boy, does he look like a potential difference maker.
Well, and do you view the desperation of the other potential buyers in the Eastern Conference different because the Raptors are coming off a championship, albeit 2 years ago, that they've been to the mountaintop, that these other teams are at their point in their cycles, that it's like win or go home, and it doesn't matter that the Nets look like this unbeatable juggernaut. You know, injuries happen, anything, you know, if you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're never punting on a season either way, that you view the Raptors differently, even if they are in that same middle tier with the Bucks and the Sixers and the Celtics, that do you view them differently as far as what they might do with the deadline?
Let's just stop dancing around it. Think of what Kyle would mean for the Philly 76ers. Think of it.
Right.
Be incredible. Guys will be incredible. Think of what Kyle Lowry would mean for the LA Clippers. That changes the balance of power in the league. Now, would Toronto make that deal with Philly? Is there any sort of package that the Clippers could possibly put together? These are different questions that we could go on for 3 or 4 hours about. But if you're thinking about, like, those teams, like, they're, you know, think, you know, they have meetings. This is their job 24/7. You think in Philly, they're not thinking about, oh my God, what we could do and put him next to Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. What the Clippers, which, you know, has a coach in Tyronn Lue and assistant coach in Chauncey Billups that Kyle is very close with, who have Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard on their roster, who really need a point guard who can handle himself under pressure. I mean, you guys, you don't have to be a super duper NBA insider to put this together. But again, it comes down to, where are the Raptors on this? Where is Kyle on this? And is there a trade that can be done? There's a big long maze to get there, but you can see why people would be talking about this who operate within the league.
Yeah, you definitely can, especially when Kawhi Leonard started the year by saying that he wants a better point guard. Like, and that, yeah, he's like, I want a more traditional point guard. Well, Kyle Lowry fits that mold, and he's a guy that you won a championship with. It's just, it's such a weird season for Toronto because, yeah, they are more competitive. They do beat these teams. We mentioned it about all the murkiness of the Eastern Conference and fans being very attached to this team and that player and all these different things. But, yeah, man, like, it seems pretty clear that the organization is going to be moving in some different directions, that it's going to be hard to retain Kyle Lowry.
I mean, again, yeah. This is Mr. Raptor. This is Mr. Raptor.
I know. It's hard.
What do the fans think?
The fans, I think, would be mostly devastated to see him be traded, especially to Philadelphia, and then the potential, as we outlined earlier in the show, that like you could end up in a playoff series against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then you got to go against Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry's there playing you with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and they're beating the Raptors, and they're knocking them out of the playoffs.
At least it's not in Toronto.
He's taking charges. You know, he's taking charges. He's doing his kind of like little half-dirty undercutting of OG Anunoby as he's like trying to box him up. Like,
stop.
Yeah, exactly. You can't – like that part of it is just a nightmare. But then the other part of me is just like, okay, this is Masai Ujiri we're talking about. This is Bobby Webster we're talking about. These guys are forward thinkers who want to make sure that this organization is back into a place where they get a championship. And as we saw with DeMar DeRozan, if you can deliver on that, all things get forgiven pretty quickly. That same thing with Dwayne Casey, that it's like – when they have not shown emotion, it has led directly to championships. And it's why it's like, okay, well, if you're going to trade Kyle and someone comes over the table with a massive offer, which I think it actually has to be, like it has to be undeniable to the fan base that they can understand the value. It can't be like a flyer on some rehabilitation project of a former first-round pick. It's got to be either draft pick capital or like kind of some form of a no-doubter. But like what organization is giving that up, and or what organization even has that when we're talking about those two? The bigger question to me is like, well, if that's what you're considering, then why wouldn't you be shopping around Norm Powell? Because he's one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA this season, and his contract is easy. Like, he can go to anybody. Every single team in the NBA could use Norm Powell. Like, if the Raptors put him on the table, what do you think his value would be? And do you think that other teams have had those conversations about trying to inquire about his services?
I haven't heard Norm Powell's name at all. So, you know, I'm not sitting in Bobby's office, so I don't know. Yeah. But I haven't heard Norm Powell's name at all. But your description of the Kyle conundrum is exactly why it's unclear what's going to happen. And it's exactly why teams are out there preparing for the possibility, but certainly not guaranteeing it. You know, the thing about Norm is, you know, they have the opportunity to extend him if they wanted to. But they're going to have cap space, right? So they don't necessarily know if they want to use the cap space on it. But if you traded him now, you wouldn't be able to extend him because there's rules about, you know, extensions. You have to do like an extend and trade and stuff like that, and it's complicated. So you have to look at Norm as a rental player. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, unless you're so gung-ho on him that you're going to do an extension and trade, which is, you know, it could happen, but when you're talking about a rental player, you're talking about the market goes down for him. So he probably, you know, here's the other thing. Whenever you're looking at trading a guy like that, this is a conversation I've had with fans literally now for decades. If you have a quality player, especially a quality wing player, this wing players are so hard to come by. If you're going to trade him, you realize you got to get a guy who's better than him, right? Like, his production goes away, and now the guy who comes in has got to not only replace his production but be better than him. That's a tall order. That's a tall order with any wing trade, much less a guy who's got an expiring contract. So, I mean, obviously it can be done. These types of trades happen. I just think it's a hard trade to make.
Talking to Brian Windhorst, does the team's success without Kyle Lowry recently impact this at all? And it's a smaller sample, but it extends back to now 15 straight games they've won without him. Does that impact, do you think, the front office's decision-making?
It certainly impacts teams out there's front office decisions as they look at it. I mean, I think if you're the Raptors, if you're inside the Raptors, I think this is your thing. You have to decide, are we making a move to improve this roster, or are we not? And do we have to look at moving Kyle or moving Norm? And again, it comes back to what you guys were talking about. Are you a buyer or a seller? And this is a hell of a seller's market, a hell of a seller's market. But if you're going to sell, you're not going to probably improve, at least immediately. you know, you may get an asset or two or a young player or two that may help you a year or so from now. But the Raptors are sitting on that fence, and their play over the last 3-4 weeks has only made that decision more difficult.
Yep.
So we have a month left, and I don't know which way it's going to go, and they may not even know which way it's going to go.